Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And today I have a little bit of a different kind of guest, kind of storyline, but so important. So my next guest, he did not actually battle Lyme himself, and he's not a practitioner. He had a loved one several years ago that dealt with Lyme disease, and wow, was he ever shocked to really not know really anything about this, right? And so he truly just dove in headfirst. I brought him onto the show. He's the author of a great book called Love, Hope, Lyme, What Family Members, Partners, and Friends Who Love a Chronic Lyme Survivor Need to Know. And this book was written by my friend, Fred Diamond, who I met in the Lyme community. And he really is just such a huge advocate out there. He's spreading the word and he's learning and he's trying to help the journey of these people who are watching their loved ones go through this horrible battle. And they don't know what to do. They don't know where to reach out. So today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about just what type of support can we give to these people that we're sitting back and watching suffer? How can we help them? You know, because when we're dealing with Lyme ourselves, like our brains and our emotions, everything's all over the place. And so a lot of times we as the Lyme person can't even get across what we need or what we expect because we don't know. So I'm loving what you're doing out there, Fred. I'm so excited to have you on the show and just kind of talk about everything you've been learning about for the last, I don't know, a few years at least for sure. So thanks so much for joining us.
Tanya, I'm thrilled. When I decided to learn more about how Lyme disease affected someone who I loved, one of the first things I did is I jumped up on Facebook and I typed in Lyme. And I was shocked to see 1,000 groups, some with tens of thousands of people. One of the groups that I discovered was the Lyme Conquerors group, which you created and our good friend JP, and just started looking at what people were talking about. I just started asking questions and people were very kind to me. People were very nice to me. They were shocked that somebody who didn't have Lyme was asking these types of questions. And I got to know you and NJP. I featured you. For people who are listening here, I run a organization for sales leaders around the globe. And I had discovered there were a whole bunch of people like you who had, at some degree, overcome a lot of the Lyme challenges. I know they're always there, of course, but you then took what you learned and put it into mission. And we did a Sales Game Changers podcast where I interviewed typically sales VPs, and I interviewed you and our good friend Greg Kirk, and we talked about what it was like to battle this disease and then put your life into helping others. Because one of the big challenges in professional sales is getting past blocks. Well, Lyme disease, ladies and gentlemen, that's a big a block as there could possibly be. So I just want to acknowledge you for being one of the people who helped me understand. And I also featured you in my book, the book that you just referred to, with some of the lessons that we talked about on that podcast.
I love that so much. And thanks for the shout out. And yes, like it was, you were kind of a breath of fresh air when you found me on the page and you reached out. And I was like, wow, who is this man? Like, he doesn't have Lyme, but he wants to learn all about it. Like, this is the kind of stuff we thrive to get out there. We want to, you know, have our loved ones want to know and want to care and want to learn about what we're going through. And so it just, you you know, I kind of thought it was like this little phase in your life, right? Like you want to learn about it to help your loved one that was dealing with it. And then kind of once you got all of your information you wanted to know, like, you know, then just go back into the world and do your thing. And you haven't, like, you've just stuck around. And we just truly, I know I can speak for all the people out there that are trying to do what I'm doing and spreading the awareness. We truly appreciate you. We need that voice out there because a lot of times you could be a voice of more reason, right? Because you never had Lyme disease. Like your logical thinking sometimes is a lot better than ours, right? So we truly appreciate what you do. And it was an honor to do the show with you several years ago and then to be mentioned in your book. So that's really special. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate what you just said. And I was with a person for about 12 years and was very attentive. And then Lyme got in the way and I said, I need to understand what this person was going through. And dug in. I bought every book on Amazon that I could find. I went to Facebook, like I told you, and typed in Lyme and was shocked to find just hundreds, if not 1,000 groups. I talked to everybody I knew who ever uttered the word Lyme to me. And I realized that as a spouse, I only knew 5% of what there is to know. You know, my motto, when I talk about this in the book, my mantra was keep this person out of stress and understand where the best gluten-free pizza is. And I thought that was pretty much it. Keep out of stress and know where gluten-free pizza is. I didn't know about co-infections. I didn't know about that the fact that Lyme disease is all over the world. You know, when I published my book, the first entity to review my book was the Lyme Disease Association of Australia. And people started reaching out in Australia. Even before I wrote the book, I just started learning so many things from your Facebook group and from the books I had read. And, you know, sometimes like when you read a mystery novel, it's called a page turner. I was reading books about Lyme disease and every page was like a page turner. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, now I understand where mold comes in, right? Oh, now I understand where heavy metals come in. And I realized I was just so ignorant, caring, but ignorant. So I wrote an article for LymeDisease.org. It was almost 3 years ago. You and I are doing today's interview right around July 4th. And then people just, it was called How to Be Supportive When Your Partner Has Lyme. And people just started reaching out to me and I said, this is a bigger thing than I thought it was. And wrote the book. To support the book, I started my podcast, the Love Hope Lyme Podcast. We've had like over 100,000 downloads and views. And it's just, as I like to say, I don't like to say it, but I say it, it's a horrible disease that no human should have to endure. Yeah. There's no reason why anyone should have to deal with all the effects of Lyme disease and the related co-infections.
Right. Wow. I can't. Well, first of all, the backup just a few seconds ago, keeping us stress-free and gluten-free pizza, very, very important things. Just so you know, right? Lots more, but very important. Gosh, has it really been 3 years ago that we met and talked and all of this kind of started? Isn't that, that's just crazy how time flies. And I do remember that you say, you know, all these books you were reading about it were page turners. And I can be your witness because I have never met anybody that reads faster or more than you. Every time you reached out, like every week or so this, you tell me you just read this new book. And I'm like, wait a minute, just a couple days ago you were reading this book. I'm like, how does this man have time to do all this reading? You are a fast reader. I remember that very vividly.
Well, you actually recommended one of my favorite books. It wasn't a Lyme book. It was The Emotion Code, as you may recall.
Yes.
And I remember you said, hey, have you read The Emotion Code? And that was one of the last books I read that summer, the summer of 2021. And that book explained so much for me. Basically, for our listeners who don't know, basically it talks about how there are just dozens of emotions stuck in various places around your body and how you need to release them in order to keep healing and moving forward. And I just want to acknowledge you. I've referred to that book many, many times and recommended it many times over the last couple of years.
That's awesome. And thanks for doing that. It was by, I know Dr. Bradley, I think his last name is Nelson, Bradley Nelson, I think. But yeah, no, fantastic book. In fact, actually, can we just pause there for a second? I want to talk about this. So I mentioned many, many times that part of going through the Lyme journey is not just killing the Lyme and the co-infections and all of the pathogens. So much of it is about our emotions, our mindset, kind of going through that healing process. And yes, that's the fantastic book to do it. I was recently talking to a friend of mine, Dr. John Harmon, who we were talking about trapped emotions. And I just want to bring this up for the listeners because I think it's important. And it was kind of something that I learned new that I wasn't even aware of. So, right, like we love learning new things. And what he said to me was we were talking about trapped emotions, you know, things from like your childhood, right, like that you never would have dreamed about. But one thing he said, and it never dawned on me, was having recurring dreams when you're a child. Good dream, bad dream, nightmare, doesn't matter. But just a constant recurring dream that you had could very well be holding some type of a trapped emotion in you. And I never thought about it. And what's crazy is that me as a child, I had a recurring dream. And it was like, it makes no sense. Like, it still doesn't make any sense. And what it was probably, I mean, this went on for, I'd have to ask my mom, but for years. And like several nights a week, I'd go running in her room and just bawling. I was so scared because my dream was I had to count out loud from 1 to 1,000,000. And I was a little kid. And I thought, like, those are some really high numbers, right? What if I mess up? What if I get it wrong? What if I can't do it? Like, and that was the scary part for me. And so it was just probably just, I think, last week that my friend and I were talking about maybe these recurring dreams are like some type of trapped emotion in you. And so I was kind of, and so now I kind of want to go back and revisit that. Like, I feel like I'm good and I feel like I did all my emotional healing from Lyme, but we never learn too much, right? We never know too much. And so I just wanted to share that real quick since you had kind of brought up the topic about the emotional trapped things that are in our body. Maybe if we had, you know, a recurring dream when we were younger, maybe that's significantly is playing a role in our healing process. So anyways, okay, enough about that, but I wanted to bring it up for sure.
Well, let me just make a comment there. So the summer 2021, I read every book on Lyme disease, and I found, again, your Facebook page and just got exposed to everything. It was August of summer 2021. Dr. Richard Horwitz, who is probably one of the most foremost Lyme doctors in the world, wrote How Can I Get Better? He actually wrote the foreword to my book, unsolicited. He sent a beautiful foreword, Mother's Day of 2022. I find this eight-paragraph beautiful foreword about, you know, the value of love in healing. But he was on a podcast, I believe it was the Pennsylvania Lyme Association, and it was the summer of 2021, and it was a webinar they had. He had all these slides, and I was watching. Matter of fact, I was watching it from exactly where I'm sitting right now in my home in Northern Virginia. And I was shocked, Tanya, that I knew 95% of what he was talking about. And again, I had just read his book too, so I knew a lot of the stuff. At the 59th minute, he said, oh, and by the way, if you don't resolve unresolved childhood trauma, you're never going to survive, or you're never going to heal. You're not survive, but you're never going to heal. Thank you. Good night. Take care. I was like, that's a big piece.
Wow.
You know, at the 59th minute, you know, tip your waitress on the way out the door type of a thing. And I interviewed him for my Love, Hope, Lyme podcast. He was actually my first official guest. And I said that to him. I said, you mentioned this at the Pennsylvania Lyme Association. He said 90% of his patients had some degree of unresolved childhood trauma, which may be related to the dreams that are probably cousins of each other. But he said, if you don't deal with that and you don't handle it, then the healing is going to be so much more difficult. And I've probably spoken to a couple thousand Lyme survivors around the globe via social media, via Zoom, and in person. I've gotten in my car and have done book signings in multiple states around the country. And a lot of them have concurred. So maybe there is something there to the dream. So we'll see.
Yeah. Interesting. Right. For sure. And I love that you brought that up about Dr. Horwitz. Yeah. Cause I had him on the show years past and he's great. And that is like, kind of like drop the mic, right? Like what a way to end that little series. But I do, I say it time and time again, if you do not deal with either trapped emotions from your childhood. The emotional part of going through this journey, the part of maybe feeling guilty that you've neglected your children or now you've gone through a divorce from it. Like, there's so many aspects of the emotional side of this journey. And I 1,000,000% agree. If you don't resolve them, you, one of two things, will not fully heal, or you'll get sick again. So you'll heal, you'll feel better, and then you relapse. And like you said, you know, thousands of people later, all these years later, I've talked to many, and I've seen many get sick again. And I truly believe that's the biggest part of it, right? Unless they just totally went back to their own lifestyle and forgot about the fact that they need to, you know, take care of themselves and exercise and eat a good diet, you know, all of the right things, right? But I really believe that that's just a huge piece of it.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the G word, guilt. And when this moment in my life happened where I realized I needed to become more knowledgeable on Lyme disease, I went to my computer and I typed in Lyme disease spouse. And, you know, when you type in best pizza in Boise, there's like 1,000,000 pages, right? I expected millions of pages. There was one article from 2014. It was written by a woman who said she's guilty that she's a horrible sister, mother, cousin, aunt, daughter, wife, teacher, whatever. And I mentioned this in my book. I say, you know, we don't see you that way, right? You know, and I understand the emotional side and having this disease that causes trauma after trauma. Just because you were bitten by a tick, right? You know, you didn't smoke cigarettes for, you know, 3 packs of cigarettes for your whole life. And you didn't work in a radiation nuclear factory.
And we didn't put that bug on our skin either, right?
You didn't go and say, I'm going to find a tick so I can have this. You're walking through Central Park in New York City. I've interviewed people. You know, you were in the Ozarks. You were on the beach in Southern California, wherever it might be. Of course,
Martha's or landscaping Vineyard. Your front yard in Northern California.
Northern California. I just spoke to someone today who was bitten in Portola Valley, you know, on the left side of the bay, San Francisco Bay. And one of the messages I wanted to get in the book was I never saw this particular person that I decided to learn more about Lyme ever like that. You know what I'm saying? The Lyme label, it just wasn't a thing. You know, there was 10 other more important things that I saw about this particular person than Lyme survivor. So that was one of the messages I wanted to get across in the book too, was I would see people on Facebook when I started typing in Lyme Lisa, you know, Lori Lyme, you know, whatever it might be. Most people, especially a loving spouse, doesn't see you that way. They see you as funny, smart, whatever it is, you might be a great mother. But I could see where you would house that guilt because, you know, you're not living up to the potential that you want to.
Right. Yeah. No. And I'm sure I can say for all the listeners, we appreciate what you just said. Like, we want to, we don't want to be titled Lyme. We don't want Lyme to have us, right? Like, we're still that same amazing person we were, you know, before we got Lyme disease, but we forget about that. Right. You know, especially a parent that that is going through this or a spouse, you know, we feel like sometimes it's just hard enough to get somebody to acknowledge that what we are going through is real. Right. And I'm sure you saw so much of that. So just the validation. Right. Because a lot of people don't even have that support from their loved ones because they don't believe us. Right. Like, I just can't, and I've said, you know, in the past that I am forever grateful for my family and my friends because they were so amazing, and they never questioned me. I mean, they were like, gosh, Tanya, well, yesterday your arms hurt, now today your legs. I said, I know, it's freaking crazy, but it is what it is. Like, they never questioned my honesty or my truthfulness. They knew who I was as a person, and they're like, this girl is like having kind of a dirty house and her garbage can's overflowing and she's not working very much. Like, something's wrong with her. Like, this is not the Tanya that we know. But still, with that being said, I was still so alone and I felt so isolated from the world, even though I had everybody there, you know, hurtling around me. So the validation thing is so important. And then, you know, just that we do. I think just as human nature, we feel guilty about things, right? I think from both aspects, right? Like, so from the male perspective, you know, he's supposed to go out there and work and make the money to support the family. And then from the female perspective, we're supposed to stay at home and keep a clean house and, you know, raise kids. And, you know, nowadays a lot of women work too. So I'm not trying to have that conversation. I'm just stating that, you know, we each have kind of our own things in our head of what we think we're responsible for. And when we're sick, whether male or female, some of those things kind of tend to go by the wayside, and we get this guilty conscience, like we're not good enough. I talked to, you know, and it's crazy for the first many years. I don't know why that just gave me goosebumps, what I was about to say. The first many years, all I ever talked to was women. And I was like, I know there's men that have this disease. And the last several years, it's like they came out of the woodwork. Was it, and I think some of it is shame, embarrassment, right? Like they were embarrassed to admit that there was something that took them over. I talk to men who are guilty because their children are missing out on playing baseball with their dad in the front yard or going fishing, and they feel guilty. And, you know, my response to them is that's your why. Right? That's your huge why you want to get better. And I say that we need that why. And take what you can from these moments, right? Don't drain your cup to have a to try to force yourself to do the things that you know you can't do, right? Like take that energy, save it, spare it, because you're going to need it to get well, because we need you to hurry and get well, right? So you can have that life with your children that you want. But I can imagine for men, I think it would be a lot tougher, right? And I don't want to say fair, unfair, but I'm happy to see that these men are coming out and speaking out about it, because I think that's going to give more power and more courage to other men that are battling this, because it is not a, you know, these ticks don't pick and choose, you know, where you live, what your sex is, what your, you know, religion is. It just does not matter, right? It'll attack us all. And so we need to spread the awareness about all of it and see it from everyone's perspective.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's I've met a number of men as well who have been very honest with me about how they feel about it, and they don't feel good. You know, I like one thing you just said too, it's not a discerning disease. I mean, it's like I said, you just happen to have gotten bitten by a tick. And what people need to also understand is this is a global epidemic. You know, this isn't just one thing I used to hear a lot. And people with Lyme symptoms probably still hear this, probably a lot of your listeners, where they'll go to a doctor. They live in Arkansas or Florida or somewhere, and the doctor will say, it's not Lyme because we don't have Lyme here, right? Well, okay, well, we travel and ticks fly. You know, one of the great things about the, you know, they travel on birds, I should say. The actual tick doesn't fly. But, you know, they get attached to a bird, and you know, the great thing about one of the great things in the opening of the Quiet Epidemic documentary is they showed all these birds with ticks on them, you know, all over the country. And I've met people in California and Idaho and Northern California and North Carolina. We did an episode of the Southgate of the Love Hope Blind podcast on the concept of gaslighting, right? Where, you know, a doctor is going to negate the fact that you even have this disease. And it's a horrible challenge. You know, I've met people, and you know this, you've talked about this before, you know, you get bitten, but you don't know you got bit, and then you have some kind of pain, maybe it's arthritic or neck or headache or whatever it might be, or flu-like symptoms, and then you go to the doctor or the emergency room or urgent care, and they treat you for that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're probably okay for a little bit because the antibiotics did something, but then 3 weeks later, the other pains come back, and then you get treated, then 3 weeks later or 2 months later, more pain happens. And the next thing you know, you've been at 8 different doctors, 10 different doctors, and they say, you know, we've tested for everything and nothing shows up. So it's probably in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And then I've met a number of men who said they've gotten to that point. And, you know, a lot of times when a doctor says it's in your head, people believe you, right? Mm-hmm. Especially family members who aren't going through the pain that you're going through. So, The analogy that we use with Lyme is, when you go to Facebook and type in, or any social media, and you type in broken ankle, there's not a thousand Facebook groups for broken ankles. There's no podcasts. Two people like you and I aren't talking right now on a podcast about broken ankles. Everywhere from Sydney to Singapore to Serbia to Sacramento, the doctor's going to treat you the same way. They'll do some x-rays. They'll put you in a boot. They'll tell you to sit down for 6 weeks and then you do a couple weeks of rehab. Lyme is, once it gets, into the chronic stage, is so complex, because you and I just talked about your history, right? And things that happen in your life, and the emotions getting, trapped inside your body. But then there's real pain. Lyme has what's it called, 30 different symptoms. I've read as many as 50 different symptoms. They call it the great pretender of a disease.
Yeah.
And trying to, as you and I are talking here, as I'm looking at you, I can't imagine. I've talked to so many people about what they've gone through, to finally get diagnosed with Lyme disease. And then people were thrilled. It's like, oh, thank God, I know what it is now. And then once at the chronic stages, you and I both know, that's when the other challenge begins.
Yeah.
Because 3 weeks of antibiotics aren't going to take care of it. And then, I've met people who've gone to South America, to try to get some type of cure.
It's crazy.
You and I have both talked to so many people.
Yeah, it's crazy. And what you said is true. And that is why most people just don't deal with Lyme disease, right? It's chronic Lyme, because 6 months have gone by because we thought we, broke our ankle, right? I'll use that one, because something in our ankle hurts, right? Like, it just starts in different random parts of our body, and then they fix it for a little bit, and then something else pops up, and now you've gone 6 months and you haven't actually treated for Lyme disease. And so now here's the rabbit hole, that you may or may not have to deal with for the rest of your life, right? I've had doctors on the show with conflicting information. There's so much conflicting information out there. And, the talk about, does it go in remission? Do you actually cure? I recently had a doctor on that says, I can absolutely cure it. Do I think that I still think that these spirochetes can hide somewhere? I do. But then I stop and I look at myself, who I guess February of... Three years ago, so a little over 3 years, I've been 100% symptom free of Lyme. I haven't treated. I feel amazing. I feel as good as I felt long before I ever got Lyme. Do I think it's ever going to come back? No, I don't. Like, I just don't. I feel that incredible. So then I think, yes, I think if you get to the root of the problem, if you deal with the emotional aspect, you do all of that, like, you can get where I am and stay that way forever, right? But it's the hard part of the chronic thing. So that's where it stinks and it bites, because we need better testing. We need, we just need so much more stuff. But in the 7 years, that I've been advocating, we've come so far. We have come so far. Even though some of these newer listeners are like, oh my gosh, nobody knows anything about Lyme. Trust me, 7 years ago, it was a whole nother ball game, right? And I'm sure you've even seen that too, Fred, that just in, since I guess 2021, we're deciding now, like, things have changed a lot, right? Like, there's a lot more talk about it, a lot more acknowledgement about it. And also, I was going to ask you if you'd noticed since COVID, right? All of a sudden, people think it's this long-haul COVID. Well, guess what, right? Lyme disease, and that's what's happening. Like, it's been coming out. And when you said earlier the pandemic, like, I truly think it is the pandemic. I think the majority of the world's population are infected with Lyme disease, but their immunity is great. And so they're good, right? And then they may or may not get sick many years down the road, but it's there.
Yeah, a couple things there. One is, let's see where to go here. In 3 years ago, when I started my investigation, I went on Amazon and I was shocked that there was at least one book. There was like 30 different books. And there were actually a couple books by some celebrities. Tommy Hilfiger's daughter, Allie, wrote a book. And Yolanda Hadid from the Housewives TV show, one of the franchises, she talked about her Lyme battle. There have been some other celebrities. Shania Twain has talked about her Lyme disease. There's been some others as well. You know, again, we're doing this interview in the summer of 2024. There was just an article last week in USA Today, a full-blown, in-depth article. You and I, for us, it would have been line 101, but it went into detail in USA Today. And a month ago, there was an article written in Time magazine. And the other actor, the actor Chris Maloney from the Law & Order SVU franchise, he's gone on Capitol Hill. And he's become a great ambassador. There's entities, I didn't know any of these existed, Tanya, the Center for Lyme Action, you know, their mission, you know.
I saw you on there this year. Yeah, this is my fourth or fifth year doing it. And I saw your name. I'm like, of course, Fred is here. I love it. Fantastic organization, right?
Right. For people who are listening, their mission, I mean, cancer, the U.S. government spends $50 billion a year on cancer research and treatment and all this different type of studies. And that's great. Last year, I believe there was $178 million spent on Lyme disease across CDC and NIH and Department of Defense. I think we just reached that. I think we surpassed $200 million with commitments to spend on research for treatment, research for diagnostics, research for mental health aspects. You know, one of the places where Lyme disease is affecting is our military, right? You know, there's been some great stories. I had on my podcast the great Air Force pilot Nicole Malachowski. You know, one of our best and brightest was taken down by Lyme disease when she was training in North Carolina. And she went through all the stuff that a lot of your listeners went through, the gaslighting, the tests that didn't prove, you know, she had Lyme disease. But now she's out speaking about getting over adversity and Lyme disease. So it's come a long way in the 3 years that I participated, but there's definitely a longer way to go. When I tell people about my book, my I Love Hope Lyme book, I'll always say to people, have you heard of Lyme disease? And usually they'll say yes. And I'll say, are you aware of it or very aware of it? Like you've had a family member, like a sister-in-law or a coworker's wife or something like that. Most people will say, I know it's really bad. It's a tick-borne illness, but that's all I know. And then we'll talk in a little more depth. And if someone has, I've spoken to people that I know in my world of the sales professional world, one of my colleagues who I've known for 30 years, I post about Lyme stuff in Facebook and LinkedIn for people who are listening. It's the business social network. And I don't do as much on Instagram, but a guy who I've known for 30 years came up to me at an event. This was two Februarys ago and said, why are you posting all the stuff about Lyme disease? And I told him a little bit of the background that we've just discussed. And he said, I don't know if you know this or not, but my son, he's 32 years old at the time. He was an athlete. He can't work. He hardly ever leaves the house. He can't work anymore. He's not an athlete. His whole social life has basically fallen apart. And I didn't know, this is a coworker, not a coworker, but a colleague at a different company. And he said, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. He said, it's an unknown disease. It's a hidden disease. Like you said in the beginning, Tanya, it's a disease that not everybody wants to talk about because, you know, I've spoken to a lot of men and women who were traumatized that this disease was caused by like you mentioned, a bug the size of a pinhead, right? And like you said, I like the way you said it too. They didn't go seeking this, you know, it just happened in so many different places. So it's continuing to grow again. There's more and more, there's so much work that's being done. There's so many amazing, we talked about some of the organizations before. On my podcast, every quarter I have Lauren McNeil, who's the CEO of the Global Lyme Alliance. And they're, for people who are listening who don't know, they're probably the largest raiser of funds for diagnostics, for treatment, and for the mental health side, because there's so many challenging things related to the disease.
Yeah, there is, you know, and it was interesting that you said, you know, this colleague from another company reached out to you. Literally, I think just last week, I made a post on Facebook, and it was kind of like this bittersweet post. And the whole point of it was, I pretty much eat, breathe, sleep Lyme disease, right? Like if anybody that knows me, if the word Lyme comes up, they say Tanya, right? Like Lyme and Tanya, they just go hand in hand. And I do it because the more we speak our voice, the more people are going to hear it, right? And so sometimes I feel like, especially in May, right? Like we go through this Lyme Disease Awareness Month. So in May, any and all of my social media, I just blow up with, what can I teach you about ticks? What can I teach you about Lyme disease? What can I teach you about this? And I'm sure some people are like, oh, I ain't got time for this. I'm tired of seeing this. I'm tired of, you know, and so sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, am I overkill on this and that? Well, my post that I made last week, the bittersweet post, was the whole idea that in the last 2 weeks, about 15 to 20 people reached out to me and said, I just got bit by a tick, or I have a friend who just got diagnosed with Lyme. Can I connect you to my sister who just got diagnosed? Can I? And I was like, I hate hearing this, right? Like there's too many new people that I know around me. But I was, that's what I wanted to know. That is the everything that I've been trying to do for the last 7 years. It's obviously working. I want to spread awareness. I want people to know what Lyme disease is. I want people to know what a bullseye rash means. I want people to know that we're not crazy. We really do have an illness, right? I also want people to know that we may feel defeated and down and out right now, but look at the hundreds and thousands of people. I mean, for one, all the guests I've had on my show for the last 3.5 years, they all conquered it. Like if we can do it, you can do it, right? And that's the voice I want to be heard. And I'm like, okay, yay, this big voice that I have, this loud voice that likes to talk, it's working. Because people are reaching out to me. People hear somebody with Lyme disease. Hey, you know what? As a matter of fact, my insurance guy that I talk to once a year for the last 5 years since I moved to Idaho, he randomly called me one evening a few weeks ago. I was like, well, this is really weird. I wonder why he's calling me. Sure enough, he was at a wedding that weekend. A lifelong friend of his just got diagnosed with Lyme disease. And he said, Tanya, you were the first person that popped into my head. And I thought, I love this because I don't even talk to you much and I'm not friends with them on social media. So it literally is just small things in conversation. And that's what it's about, right? Spreading awareness, spreading education. It's so important, but it's working, right? Like you said, we have a long ways to go, but we need to be proud of the small steps that we have made, you know, thus far.
Yeah, I want to acknowledge you for that. I mean, I've worked in a lot of... I've been on various charity boards and volunteering and things along those lines. Not everybody is committed to advocacy, right? And this is a global epidemic. I did an interview last week that I posted with a doctor from Poland, who says he gets patients from Scandinavia, from Southern Europe, all across the UK, and there aren't that many doctors out there who are what we call Lyme literate, who understand everything about the disease. A lot of the Lyme doctors became Lyme doctors because someone in their family was affected or they were affected, without mentioning names. But, you know, I just want to acknowledge you for being an advocate. You know, we talk to people all the time. I didn't know, once again, 3 years ago, I knew one person with Lyme. Now I have thousands that I've communicated to, and you know, I get people, 5-10 people a day who reach out asking me about the book. I've made the PDF of my book available for free from day one. You know, it's available on Amazon, of course. I've signed copies for a lot of people. Almost everything that I make from it goes to some charity. My birthday is coming up at the end of this week, and LymeDisease.org is going to be, you know, the charity that I'm recognizing this year. But no, I mean, don't be... I want to just acknowledge just you because I found your Facebook group, you know, and the Lyme Conquerors group, and people were so kind to me and told me whatever question I had. I remember one day I just asked a question. The question was, I realized that I didn't know how a person in my life was really treating themselves. I knew they were going to the doctor and all these various different things, but I didn't know the actual protocol. I didn't even know there was a word called protocol on how people with Lyme disease treated themselves with the variety of medicines and herbals. And we talked about mindfulness before. How does that come into play? You know, you go to a lot of the integrative medicine sites, and there's yoga, right? So not everybody's into yoga, but some people are. If it's going to help you, if you can have a degree of mindfulness, I asked the question, you know, how do you ask your partner what their protocol is? And I must have got, it was June of 2020. I must have gotten 100 replies of people, you know, giving advice, not just for me, but for other people who had the same question on how to ask your partner, how are they treating themselves and what has worked and what doesn't work. You know, when you're the partner of somebody with a chronic illness like this, you know, you're trusting that they're taking care of themselves. You know, they're going to doctors, you know, there's medicine, you know, they know that there's vials of things, you know, they can eat certain food, they don't want to do certain activities, but you think they're taking care of themselves. You know, there's a lot more to it. Like I said, I knew 5% of what I knew now, and people in the group that you created were so kind to say, you know, ask this question. If you've seen this, it probably means that. So it's a very kind community. Like I said, there's not a broken ankle community of people giving advice on what TV shows to watch, you know, but there's so much support out there for people with Lyme. And you know, you're brave enough to be bold about who you are. You know, imagine that too. Imagine if people were courageous and bold enough to be who they are. You know what I'm saying? You know what you went through. You saw it. People were supportive of you. I know a lot of what you've gone through because you were on my other podcast, and we put some of your story in the book, and you and I have traded notes, you know, around the last couple of years. You know, you've replied to questions I've had as well. So you're helping so many other people who aren't willing to, not that they're not willing, but you aren't as courageous to make themselves out there. And not everybody wants, you know, that to be identified with them. But it is great that there are people like you who are doing it to help them get through the day.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate those kind words for sure. And yeah, there aren't. It's not always easy, right? Like sometimes I worry about, am I going to get PTSD? Am I going to? And I think I said on a show not very long ago, 7 years ago, when something came across me, it was like I wasn't given this fork in the road. Right? Like I wasn't like, okay, what do I want to do next? What it was just like, I just had this one road that God was leading me, and it was to where I am today. Like, I just truly believe that the biggest part of the reason I went through this Lyme journey is because my voice needed to be heard. Right. And that's what I kept was being prompted. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And for, you know, for any of my friends, my personal people that know me, they know I love to talk, right? So you get me passionate about something, and I talk a lot. And thank you for your kind words about my Facebook group that my friend JP and I started, gosh, probably four and a half years ago. For the listeners out there that are not familiar with it, it's Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. And I'm glad that you found that, Fred, you know, 3 years ago, because we wouldn't have met. You've been a great friend. I appreciate you. And, you know, there's a lot of Facebook groups out there, and they're important. We get good information. We get good support. But I also want you to know that I think a person can be overwhelmed by them. There's some that aren't super positive. Right. There's a lot of it's interesting because, you know, I've gotten to know a lot of these familiar names in my group, and I'll see them post something on another Facebook page that is just, could you be any more negative, Nancy? Right. They won't post that in my page because they know we work really hard to keep our page positive. We want it to be a positive impact because there's so much negativity out in the world. This is not where we need it at, right? And I am not, absolutely not saying it's not okay to have a bad day or it's not okay to have a, you know, grumpy attitude one day. But that's it. One day, get over it. Tomorrow, turn the page, move on, right? Like that's how it's going to be if you want to get well. So I just want to acknowledge that you can absolutely overwhelm yourself with all the information and all the Facebook groups. Pick and choose a couple. Follow them. See what you can get. See what type of help you get. If you don't like them, leave them. Follow a couple more. There's enough out there to check them out, you know. So I'm glad that worked out for you in that way, for sure. So let's talk a little bit over these next last couple of minutes. If somebody was come to you now and say, you know, okay, your loved one, you're the husband or the father, or whatever role you want to take. What do you do to support your child or your wife? What are the tips that you can give these listeners on what they can do if they're not the one battling Lyme, they're trying to support someone that is? Like, do you have kind of like a, Fred, what's your protocol for that? Right? Is there a protocol? I think there is.
Well, you know, everybody is different. And it goes back to what you said before. It's a real disease. You know, we just talked about getting support. You know, in my world of sales professionalism, we talk a lot about mindfulness, right? And how do you get past a customer who doesn't return your phone call, right? You know, you need to, okay, I'm going to call tomorrow. You don't make them wrong because they're the customer, they're in charge. I don't think you can will away Lyme disease, you know, when the Babesia is crushing your teeth or whatever it might be. It's a real thing. It is a real disease with, like we mentioned before, sometimes 20, 30 episodes. You know, we talked about the pandemic. A lot of the pandemic sparked a lot of occurrences of people. A lot of the stress caused some of the bacteria and parasites that were in stealth mode to come out, which is why I think there's been a lot of attention as well. So one is it's real. You have someone in your life that has a real disease. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to will it away today. I'm going to will it away. Mind over matter. I'm bigger than the Lyme disease. Not always, right? Not always. It is a real disease. So know that the person that is in your life that you love, that you've committed to, right? You made the decision. I am going to love this person.
In sickness and health, right?
In sickness and in health, till death do us part, or for all eternity, whichever comes first. So, okay, this is just part of life, right? There's great stuff too, and you want to partake in that, but there's also, you know, stuff. If your spouse, your partner just is just exhausted. And I've had people with Lyme disease tell me the fatigue that you get with Lyme disease is something that if you don't have Lyme, you just can't even imagine. You know, if I have like a really tough day, a bunch of calls and a bunch of meetings and presentations, and I'm tired, I can just lay down on the couch and make dinner and crack open a drink and watch the game, right? And then I'm good. You know, I've heard of people with Lyme disease who with a friend of mine who I met through the Lyme world, similar to you, who unbeknownst to me told me she was bedridden for the last 6 of the last 8 years. And I was like, how come I didn't know that? And she said, well, I never told you. I don't publicize it. But she said, you know, the Lyme has almost paralyzed her legs. So getting up makes it very, very difficult. So for the family members, partners, and friends, this is a real thing with so many different ramifications. The fatigue, the pain, the neuro side. You know, one of my Love Hope Lyme podcast talked about the cognitive and neurological challenges that you can possibly get with Lyme disease. And that show's gotten over 2,500 downloads and a lot of comments on YouTube. So for spouses, family members, this is real. Your loved one is going through this. It is a part of your relationship, right? You know, Tanya, one of the reasons why I wrote the book is when I was doing my research, I found out a stat which said that 75% of relationships where one of the people has a chronic illness will terminate, right? And 90% of the time, it's the spouse who says, I'm out of here. You know, you're not who you were. I didn't bargain for this. You're always in bed. We don't do this on Saturday. We don't go out on Saturday nights anymore. I'm taking care of the kids. The house is a mess. You know what? Just deal with it, right? Yeah. Clean up a little bit. You know, hire someone, go to the PTA meetings. I have a whole chapter on, you know, a list of things that, you know, and I say in my book, it's even though in my particular situation, I wrote it from the man angle with the woman who has the Lyme, like we talked before, there's more and more on both sides. So, you know, there has to be a degree of acceptance and patience and love. You know, I originally was going to title the book Love, Loss, Lyme. With family members, et cetera. And I realized that a lot of people with chronic Lyme disease lose so much. They've lost relationship. They've lost family members. They've lost livelihoods. Yeah. You know, they've lost relationships, like we talked about before, friends, cousins, family members, spouses. It's a line replete with loss. So I said, you know what? I don't need to tell your listeners that. They know that. You know, let's talk about hope. You know, let's talk about the possibility of still living an amazing life and you have Lyme disease.
Yeah, I love that. And I don't think I knew that you were going to title that your book. So, and I'm kind of glad you didn't, right? Like, it's just like one of the reasons I do my podcast, right? Like, it's all about hope. I want to give hope and inspiration to those that are battling, you know, and I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners out there that are coming from it from your standpoint, right? Like of having a loved one that has Lyme. So we just want to give hope. There's a lot of loss. There's so much loss, you know, and then if you lose your partner, your spouse over this, of course, that just adds more to, you know, I failed or I'm defeated or all that kind of rolls into that whole emotional healing from this journey. It's so important. So, gosh, Fred, I could talk to you for hours about this, I think, because we're just so passionate about it, right? Like you want to see it from that point and I share it from my point because I lived it. And oh, let me comment on your fatigue comment, because yes, I say all the time, you don't get it till you get it. But it was really interesting during the COVID time. Because fatigue was a lot of that, right? Like a lot of people dealt with this fatigue. Yeah. And I had some family and friends that went through it and they're like, no, Tanya, you don't understand this fatigue. It's like nothing I've ever felt. And I'm thinking, okay, I had COVID and I had fatigue with it. And of course, we're different, right? I don't want to judge you or downplay how you feel. But trust me when I say the fatigue with Lyme is a whole nother level you can't even describe. You just can't. I had someone on the show a few years ago and she said something like it felt like her feet and her from like her waist down was actually carrying around cement. I'm like, what's that word? you know, like quicksand or cement that they were trying to walk through. And I thought, gosh, like that makes a lot of sense, you know. And I had a lady on the show as well, and she said she laid in bed and all she said to herself was, breathe in, breathe out. She had so much fatigue that she didn't even think her brain could tell her body to breathe. And so she was saying it out loud. I mean, wow, right? And it's real. It's all, the whole thing is real. And it's super real. And so again, Fred, I appreciate what you're doing in the world. It's been fun following you, following each other, you know, supporting each other and just doing what we can to get the word out there, get the support out there, let people know that there are people that are willing to help them. And we're two of them. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate your book. Again, you can find it on Amazon. Fred Diamond, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything you do.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.